today's shiur is Masechta Sota, Daf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, the last line. The Mishnah said, "Vim Amar Tahirani." If the woman said that she is Tahar, then we begin the process of the Meisota of preparing the Mayim Hamaorim and ultimately giving it to her. But there are a number of steps that have to be take place before that actually happens. The Mishnah said, we took her up to the Shar Mizrach. Asked the Gemara, Malon Oisai, what does the mean when we say that we take her up there? Hasam Kaimer, she's already there. Because as the Mishnah had already mentioned, she was brought to the Lishkas Hagazas, where the Sanhedrin sat, who would try to make sure to understand if she really should be drinking the Mayim HaMa'arim. And the Lishkas HaGozes was partially in the Azara. So if she was already there, what does the Mishnah mean when we say that we take her up there? Answers the Gemara, the Maskinah Lo Kedei Liyaga. What the Mishnah means is we take her up and down the Har HaBayis in order to exhaust her, and by that she will perhaps admit to the truth, and we will not have to go through the Mayim HaMa'arim and unfortunately erase the name of Hashem. The Mishnah, the Mefarshim ask that the wording of the Gemara is somewhat difficult to understand. The Gemara says Maskin Allah, we take her up and then we take her down. What does it mean we take her up? She is already on top of the Har HaBayis. What the Mishnah should mean is we take her down and then take her back up. So some Farshim say what the Mishnah means is, what the Gemara means is we're going back to the beginning of the process. We first took her up to the Lishkas HaGozes, to the Sanhedrin. Then we take her back down. And then we take her back up. Another pshat that I saw, the Farshim means that we take her down after when we remove her from the Lishkas HaGozes. But the real goal is Maskinah, that ultimately she should come back to the Azara where we will perform the Mayim HaMa'arim procedure. The Tanya, as we find elsewhere, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Bezdin Masidnas Edim Mimakal Mekam, Bezdin, if there were Edim that came to say Edith regarding a capital case, they would move the Edim from place to place, Kadesh Titarav Datan Aleim, in order that they should become unclear, and they wouldn't stick to their edus when they're saying that this person killed Shimon, which is the purpose of their testimony. That's Rashi's pshat. The Rambam learns pshat. What does it mean that we move the edim around? It doesn't mean that we physically move them around, but rather, says the Rambam, what it means is that we ask them questions and then change the subject and go back and forth and asking them questions which will unsettle them and will help us that they won't say Edis about somebody killing someone else. So the Mishnah continued that they took her to the Shar Nikner, Shasham Mashkenes Asaitis, because by the Shar Nikner is where it took place that they would give the Saitis to drink the Mayim HaMa'orim. And the Mishnah continued, not only the Saitis drank the Mayim HaMa'arim by the Shar Nikna when a woman gave birth and she brought a carbon, or a Mitzayra, as he goes through his purification process, all of this took place by the Shar Nikna. Ask the Gemara, Bishlam Saitis, we could understand when the Gemara says that the Mishnah says that Saitis had to stand by the Shar Nikner as they began their process. The Ksib, because the Pasuk says, V'hem en ha-koin ha-si-isho lifnei Hashem. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Shar Nikner is the perfect place because it's somewhat lifnei Hashem, but it's not completely lifnei Hashem. It's partially in the Azara and not completely in the Azara. Also, Mefarshim explained, why from all of the Shiorim was the Shar Nikner chosen as the gate which they would do this process? So one pshat that I saw is that the Shar Nikner is the entrance that faces the Heichel. Since it's the entrance that faces the Heichel, the words Lifnei Hashem are most appropriate in describing the Sha'an Nikner. Another pshat that I saw is that the Sha'an Nikner was on the east side, was the entrance on the east side. In the Mishkan, they did not have as many entrances as they had in the Beis HaMikdash. But an entrance on the east side, they had in the Mishkan also. So, the entrance on the east side is the one entrance that always remained by Klal Yisrael, the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore it is the appropriate entrance to choose to do all these avoidas. Mitzrayim nami, but Mitzrayim also, we need the Mitzrayim to stand there, because the Pasuk says, V'amna kainam mitar lifnei Hashem. Eli Yoledis asked the Gemara, Maitama, why was the Yoledis, when she brings her kabbonis, brought to the Sha'ar Nikner? Ilema, if you say, Mishum the Asim v'kabanayu, the reason I have to stand by the Sha'ar Nikner, because since they're bringing a carbon, it's only appropriate that they should be there as their carbon is being brought. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Ein karbonah shel adam karav, Elmken oimel al gabav, a person's carbon is only brought if he's standing there. And as the Rishonim explained, because that's what the Pasuk says, Tishumaru lakrav liba mayadoi, that a person should be standing there as his carbon is being brought. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Ihochi Zovin v'Zovis Tami, so why doesn't the Mishnah mention Zovin and Zovis also as standing there when they brought their Kabbonis? They also had to bring Kabbonis. Says the Gemara, Enochanami, Zovin and Zovis also came to the Sha'ar Nikner as their Kabbonis were brought, because a person is supposed to be there when his Kabbon is being brought. Just the Mishnah, did not mention all cases where people bring kabbonis, mentioned this specific case, but actually the din is by all kabbonis, the person should stand there. Ask the Cheshek Shloima. Masechta Kinen is a masechta that discusses the various pushkas that were in the Azara, that people would put in their money, Yoel Dois, Zovin, would put in their money, from which birds were bought to bring as kabbonis. And the Mishnayis there, somewhat complicated Mishnayis, discuss what's going to be the halacha if the money is lost, if the money gets mixed up. But now the question is, if a person is supposed to stand there as he brings his kabbonis, so what is the concern? How would this ever happen? Says the Cheshek Shloima that the only time people were supposed to use those pushkas to put their money in is only in a situation where they weren't able to personally attend. They were sick, they were incapacitated for whatever reason. However, as Al Gemara clearly indicates, the right thing to do is when a person had to bring a carbon, he should be present as the carbon was brought. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Ein mashkin shtei soitus kachas, we should not give two soitus to drink the mayim and marim at the same time. Today, for we are concerned that if we will do that, one soita may be innocent, the other soita, and that's why she's prepared to drink the mayim amarim, the other soita is not innocent, but when she sees the other soita not drinking water, that will give her the courage and confidence not to drink, and therefore they should not drink at the same time. And in fact, the Pais can say that's the same reason that if Beis Din sees fit that there are two people who are mechuyev shvuah to make a shvuah, they should not make a shvuah at the same time for the same concern. They were concerned that if one feels confident in making the shvuah because he knows he's saying the truth, that will give confidence to the other person, that will influence the other person to make a shvuah where he is actually not allowed to make a shvuah because he isn't saying the truth. That's the Tana Kama's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Loi Min Hashem Uzeh, that is not the reason. The reason why Ein Mashkin Shnei Soitus Kachas El Amakra Oisa, because the Pasuk says Oisa Veshbia Oisa HaKoyin Oisa Levada, she herself, no one else. Ask the Gemara, Tanakama, And the Tanakhama that gave a reasoning for this halacha. Why does he have to give a reasoning? Haksev Aisa, there's a pasuk that says that we shouldn't give them to drink at the same time. Answers the Gemara Tanakhama Rav Shimon Hi. The Tanakhama represents the opinion of Rav Shimon. And as the Rishonim explain, throughout Shas, Rav Shimon is of the opinion that he's Dorish Tam of the Krah. He explains the reasoning of a pasuk, even when it has halachic ramifications. The example is the Gemara Masechta of Metzia. The halacha is that if someone takes security from someone else, he lent someone else money and he takes security, if the item that he took as takes as security is an item that the person needs, he's supposed to return it to him when he needs it. For example, if someone takes from someone his pillow and blanket, and that's the only pillow and blanket that he has, so every morning he could pick up the pillow and blanket, and every night he should return that pillow and blanket because the person who he took it from needs it to sleep with, or if he took something they need, vice versa, if he took something that he needs by day. The Torah says, we're not allowed to take from a widow her clothing as security. Says Rav Shimon, it isn't to be understood as a blanket rule that one may never take security from a widow. Rather, it means we have to look at the situation. If it's a widow who only has these clothing as security, and therefore this person who takes it from her every night will come pick it up, every morning will return it to her, as we explain the halacha, it could cause her to have a bad reputation that a man is coming to visit her every day, twice a day. Therefore, says Rav Shimon, if the widow is a wealthy person who could give these clothing as security and doesn't need it back because she has other clothing to wear, then you can take security, even her clothing as security, even from a widow. Says the Gemara, that's what the Tanakhama is saying. Yes, the Torah says, Oysa, Oysa Levada. But Matam Oysa Levada. Why did the Torah say that we shouldn't give two soitas to drink at the same time? Kadesh lo yiliba gaspechaverta. Because we know such a situation could cause confidence, influence the person that shouldn't be taking the Maim Amorim. Ask the Maramai Benai, what is the practical nafkamina between the opinion of Rav Tanakhama, which is saying Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda? Answers the Gemara, Ika b'nai recessus. If one of the women is trembling, so Rashi learns it's one of the women, so she obviously is not going to be influenced, because she's, anyway, we see, scared. We're not worried that she's going to become confident. And as the Tosfos Rosh actually explains, it's not that it's not adequate that one of the women is confident, but rather both of the women is trembling. Both of the women are trembling. If both of the women are trembling, we could be sure, says the Gemara, that we don't have to worry about Liba Gaspa Chaverta, and therefore, according to Tanakhama, we can let these two soitas drink the water at the same time, whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, the Pasuk says, Oysa Levada, herself, under all circumstances. Taisus suggests another nafkamina. Taisus says that what would be the halacha if the other woman standing there is a woman who's not a soita. If the concern is, as the Tanakhama explains, Kadei Sholili Begas Bechaverta, so here we don't have that concern. This woman isn't a soita. But if we follow the exact wording of the Pasuk of Oysa Levada, then no other woman should be standing there. Ask the Gemara, but according to the way we just finished explaining, the Tanakhama is going to hold that if one of the women is trembling, then if the women are trembling, then we could give two soitas to drink at the same time. Ask the Gemara of Roisesus Mi Mashkin, could we give two soitas to drink water, Hamayim Amorim, even under these circumstances at the same time? Isn't there a rule via Ein Oise Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas, mitzvahs should not be done in bundles, But the Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, a mashkin shtei soitis kachas, we shouldn't give two soitis to drink water at the same time, the maim and marm at the same time. Vei mitarim shnei mitzurim kachas, we don't go through the purification process of two mitzurim at the same time. Vei roitzim shnei avodim kachas, two eved ivries who want to remain with their owner longer should not be made, ritziyah should not be made at the same time. Vein orfim shtei agolos kachas, we don't do arifas agol of two agolos for two corpses that were found at the same time. So even if we don't have the concern, ask the Gemara, of liba gas b'chaverta, as in the situation of roisus ois, we still have the concern of enois and mitzvois, chavilos chavilos. Om rabbi v'tem rav kahana, loy kasha. Kam b'koyin echad, if one koyin is giving two soitas to drink, we have a problem of mitzvahs chavilos chavilois. Can, however, b'shnei kohanim, if two kohanim are giving soitas to drink, we don't have a problem of mitzvahs chavilois chavilois. That's the way Tosfos explains the Gemara. The Rambam explains the Gemara just the opposite. He says, if two women are standing in the Azara at the same time, even if the work is being done by two kohanim, there's a problem of mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. But if one kohen is doing the avoida and the two women are not standing there in the same time, there the Rambam says there is no problem of chavilas chavilas. And the machlokes of the Rambam and Tosfos has a lot of practical halachic ramifications. What would be the halacha if there are two children that are supposed to have bris milah at the same time? So according to Tosfos, as long as we don't have one mayel doing the milah on both of those children, there's no problem of chavilos chavilos, and both children could be there at the same time. If, however, it's only going to be one mayel performing both bris milas, there the halacha would be we would have to have the two, we would not be allowed to have the two children being done, the bris milah next being done with there at the same time. According to the Rambam, it's just the opposite. The two children can't be there together under any circumstances, because that's how the Rambam explains he will not allow the two brisim to take place at the same time, even if they're being done by two different moilim. The same shaila is actually a shaila that we find a machloikis between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. We know that at certain times, certain days, when the Torah is read, we have to take out multiple Sifrei Torah. And the question is, what should we do? Our minik, which is what the Bavli holds, is that different people should take out each Sifrei Torah, which is in line with Tosfos' opinion. As long as a different person is taking out each Sifrei Torah, we don't have a problem with chavilos chavilos. But the Yerushalmi says, even if it's different people taking out the Sifrei Torah, if they're all being taken out at the same time, we have an issue of chavilos chavilos, and the Yerushalmi therefore says that we should take out one Sefer Torah, use it, and then only when we need the next Sefer Torah should it be removed. Obviously, we paskin, and we our meaning is like the Bavli, and perhaps that's the machloikis. The machloikis is, how do we understand enois mitzvahs chavilos chavilos? But if we want to think a little deeper, perhaps we could explain that the machloikis of the Rambam and Tosfos really is the machloikis Rishonim, and what is the reason why ein oisin mitzvahs chavilos chavilos. Some Rishonim explain that by doing mitzvahs chavilos chavilos, it shows that the mitzvahs are a burden, and a person is trying to relieve himself of doing the mitzvahs by doing many in one time. Other Rishonim explain, and oisim mitzvahs chavilos chavilos means because you can't concentrate properly on doing each mitzvah, if you're doing more than one mitzvah at a time. Tosfos, who says that if there are two kahanim doing the avoida, two moyalim doing the bris milah, there's no chavilos chavilos, it's because I'm not trying to relieve myself. It's separate people. The Rambam, however, says the concern is concentration. And if there's more than one baby there, If there's more than one soita there, then it lacks that I will not be able to have the proper concentration, and perhaps that's the explanation of the Rambam. Of course, the Poskim say that if one is doing one mitzvah after another in succession, that's not an issue of mitzvahs chavilas. For example, if one is putting up mezuzahs in many rooms of his home, he certainly can make one bracha al kvay mezuzah for all of the rooms in his home. Or a shaychit, a shechting, he can make one bracha and then begin to shecht many animals, many birds. A number of interesting shailas that I saw regarding this sugya of an oisin mitzvahs chavilas chavilas. One is, let's say someone has two workers who he's supposed to pay, who work for him, and each one is supposed to receive $50 for that day's work. He doesn't have two $50 bills, he doesn't have smaller money, he has a $100 bill. He goes and he gives the two workers a $100 bill, and he says, between the two of you, break it that each one of you should have $50. That's improper, because there's a mitzvah of b'yoymoy titein tzcharoy. We have to pay each worker in a timely fashion, and by not paying him his full wages by himself, asking him to go complete the payment transaction, he's ein oisim mitzvah chavilas chavilas. Or another example I saw the Paiskim discuss: if two people come collecting by someone's house tzedakah on Purim, and he wants to give a kind of mitzvah matanos l'avyoinim, and he wants to give, let's say, each one of these people $10, but he doesn't have $10, he has a $20 bill, by telling them, here I'm giving the two of you a $20 bill, and between the two of you, you divide it, that again may be an issue of an oisim mitzvah is chavilas chavilas. Then I saw the Paiskim discuss, if one is making a siyum on Yontif, can one have a Sudas Yontif and a Sudas Siyim at the same time, Sudas Shabbos and a Sudas Siyim? Or along the same lines, can we have a number of Siyim Masechtas take place at the same time? Would that be considered of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas? So I saw the Paiskim can give two explanations why those would not be situations of Ein Oisim Mitzvahs Chavilas Chavilas. One explanation is that any mitzvah which is voluntary, not a mitzvah that you're obligated to do, there is no concern of a mitzvah chavilas chavilas. A siyum is not a mitzvah that we're obligated to do. Another explanation I saw is only that mitzvahs that require physical exertion, is there a concern of ein oisim mitzvah chavilas chavilas. But mitzvahs that don't require physical activity, such as making a siyum, there is no chavilos chavilos. I saw also that the Pais can discuss along the same line, if someone has yard site on multiple relatives on the same day, or if it comes on Yontif when Yisker is said, and many people have a minig that they light a candle or a yard site candle, can they write one candle for all of the people who have yard site that day, all the people they're saying Yisker for? And based on our Gemara, certainly this is not a halacha, it's only a minig, but I did see that many Paiskim suggest that separate candles should be lit for the different people. And the Mishnah continued to say, the Kohen oiches bebegodel, the Kohen grabs the clothing and rips them off her until he uncovers her bosom. Tana bonan, the Pasuk says, Paras roisha. The Pasuk says that we should uncover the head of the soita. Engli ala roisha, which only speaks about a head. Gufa menayin, how do we know that her body should be also exposed? Tamaloimer ho'isha. Imke ma tamaloimer upara es roisha. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Gemara's question is, what do we do with the word es? The extra es? Melamet shakoyin soisa sa'ara. Which means that not only do we take off her hair covering, but if her hair is braided, her hair should be undone. We learned in the Machloikis in the Mishnah that the Tana Kama, the Rabbanan, held that this procedure should be followed under all circumstances. However, Yehuda said, Im Hayaliba, if she was attractive, then we should not do it. Says the Gemara, Lememra, which comes to say, Rabbi Yehuda Chayesh Lehura. Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that the people who are there, if the woman is an attractive woman and she's uncovered, you come to to improper thoughts. Rabbanon, on the other hand, loy chayshi, are not concerned. The halach is that they should be uncovered under all circumstances. Ask the Gemara, we find just the opposite opinions. The Tanya, the Mishnah, the Brisa says in Masechta Sanhedrin, if a person is supposed to be stoned, says the Brisa, ha'ish mechasim oisai paragechem ofonov, by a male, we put on a piece of material to cover his private parts, just in the front of his body. V'isha, by a woman, shnei prokim, two pieces of cloth, echem ofonav, echem alchareh, one piece of cloth in front of the body and one in the back. The front of the private parts and the other in the back, neshikula erva, because that entire area by a woman is considered the makam erva. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'cham maimrim, ish niskal orim, a man should be stoned without wearing any clothing. V'eina isha niskal saruma, but not a woman. A woman should not be stoned without wearing any clothing. Obviously, so the Rishonim explained the Gemara in the following manner. The pasuk says, v'rogmul oisai. So the pasuk is clearly indicating that a man, if he's being stoned, chas v'shalom, should not be wearing any clothing. Rabbi Yehuda says that even though the Torah is speaking b'loshen zachar, it certainly includes the same halacha applies by women. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, say, absolutely, under normal circumstances, even though when the Torah uses a loshen zachar, in such a circumstance, I would say also, certainly includes women. But because we're concerned lihirura, we're concerned that it could cause some people to have improper thoughts, and the pasuk doesn't explicitly say that a woman should be stoned without wearing any clothing, therefore, says the Chachamim, a woman is stoned wearing clothing. So we see the Rabbi Bonon are concerned for hirur. And that's why a woman should remain clothed as she receives skila. Rabbi Yehuda, obviously, is not chayish l'ruhura. And even the woman should not be dressed when she gets skila. Isn't that just the opposite of the opinions they held in our Mishnah? Amar Rabba, hocha tamamai. Why are we concerned by a soita for a hero? Because shema taitzim pez din zakos. There is always a concern that she will go out of the bezdin innocent. The Yizguru by Perchikuna. The Perchikuna, who as Taisus explained, were the people who were typically in the base Hamigdash in the Azara, will see the woman unclothed and will remember her, and there could be real issues. Hasam, but in the case where we're killing the woman, Hamastalka, she's dying. So there's nothing to worry that we're going to see her and think about her. She's no longer going to be here. As Taisus, why doesn't the Gemara suggest a simple eitzah, according to Rabbi Yehuda? We should put a mechitza around the woman, and that will prevent terror, so she can remain undressed, and yet not have a concern of Yizgruba by Perchikuna. Answers Taisus. It defeats the purpose. The whole purpose of undressing her is to intimidate her. But if we're going to not do that, if we're going to put up a mechitza around her, what have we accomplished? Ask the Gemara, and in the case of the woman who's being stoned, why aren't we concerned for chitema also legruya bechinosai? Why are we not concerned that this woman we don't have to worry about, because she unfortunately is dying? But what about other women that the kohen Adam who saw may become aroused because they saw her? Hamarava answers the Gemara, that's not a concern, because Gemara we learned Dein Yetzahara Shoylet Elva Masha and of Rois. The Yetzahara only thinks and works over something a person saw. Something he didn't see doesn't have any influence over him. And in fact, I saw from the Sefer Ben Yehoyada, that's why we find that the eyes are black and white, or dark, a darker color and white. The black, the pupil, is from where a purple person sees. A person sees from the black, because that's the black represents Yetzirah, and Yetzirah is only Mizgara, but Masha Enev Roy is what a person sees. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rava, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, was there only a Kasha, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda? that we had, that here in our Mishnah, he's Chayish Lehura, and in Masechta Sanhedrin, he wasn't. Drabonah had Drabonah like Kasha. Is there no problem with the opinion of Drabonah that in our Mishnah, they're not Chayish Lehura, and Masechta Sanhedrin, they are Chayish Lehura? Elamarova. The Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, the contradiction in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we have resolved like Kasha Kedushaninim, is no longer a question as we have answered. The Rabbanan had Rabbanan Nami Lakasha. The opinion of the Rabbanan is not Akasha. Because Hokatam Amai, why over here did the Torah tell us that the woman should be undressed? Mishum Vinavasru Kol HaNoshim. The Torah says that all the women should see what happens, and that will cause women to recognize what immorality brings. Hossam, on the other hand, there where the woman is being killed, that she's being killed causes the greatest level of Musa. And as Mefarshim explained, even if the woman is indeed innocent, in our case by the Saita, she's not completely innocent because she did go through Kinui Vestira. And even if she's innocent, we still want to teach a lesson to other women not to act in an improper manner. Therefore, under all circumstances, should the woman be humiliated by being undressed. However, by the case of Misa, we do not have to be concerned with that, and that's why the halacha is that by Misa we can leave her dressed. Ask the Gemara why. According to Rabbanon, Lev Batarti, besides killing her, why don't we also undress her, which will teach the lesson even stronger? Answers the Gemara, Amr Rav Nachman, Amr Rav Bavua, Amr Kra, V'hafta L'Reyacha K'maycha, B'rar Lo Misa Yafa. Choose an easy, honorable death, and be killing her when she's not wearing any clothing. It's certainly very difficult situation. Ask the Mefarshim, how do we know to apply the pasuk v'haftal reyacha kamaicha after the person for death? Maybe we should explain v'haftal reyacha kamaicha speaks while the person's alive. So some Mefarshim explain that while a person's alive, how one individual is supposed to act towards another individual, we already know from the pasuk v'chai achicha imach that we have to live with our fellow brothers, but on the other hand, the Gemara says chayecha kaidman. So obviously, the pasuk v'haftal reyacha kamaicha is referring after death. Another pshat is that the pasuk starts with the words leisikaim v'leisita v'haftal reyacha kamaicha. The words sikaim, the word nekam, is many times used regarding a situation after death. Another pshat that I saw from the Ramban is we know that Beis Hillel said, what is the definition of a hafta l'rach k'maycha? Madaloch sani l'chavroch l'savit. What you don't like, you shouldn't do to someone else. So explains the Ramban, what you don't like, don't do to someone else. Doesn't make a difference if that someone else is alive or dead. And therefore, we could well apply the pasuk v'hafta l'rach k'maycha to even after death. So says the Gemara, perhaps, now that we explain that the opinion of the Rabbanon is based on their understanding of a haftal reach kamaicha, Rav Nachman's understanding of a haftal reach kamaicha, should we say, Lamed Rav Nachman Tanoihi? This concept that Rav Nachman set forth is actually the subject of the machlokes Tanoim between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Says the Gemara, Loi, the Kula Am is the Rav Nachman. Everybody agrees with Rav Nachman's statement that the concept of a haftal reach kamaicha applies in how we kill the person. The question here is the machlokes between the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yehuda is how exactly to apply that concept. A person, Rabbanon, hold that since being killed undressed is particularly humiliating, we should not kill the person that way. Rather, we should kill him dressed, even though it caused that the death should take longer to happen. Well, Masav, on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda holds, Tzar de Guf, out of Leyut Femi B'Zayani, a person who's being killed would prefer to be killed quicker, and by removing the clothing, the death happens faster than being killed while being dressed, which will involve less humiliation, but a prolonged death. Men, explained the Karan Ira, are not so particular about not being dressed, and therefore everyone agrees, both Rabban and Rabbi Yehuda, that she should be, everybody agrees that both, that the men should be undressed when they're killed. The Mishnah said, "Hayim chutz levanim, if the woman was wearing white clothing, we should put on black clothing." Tana, however, says the Braisa, "Im ha'yishcharim na'ala, if this woman looks more attractive wearing black clothing, then we should put on clothing that will make her look unattractive. Hayla klizov, if she was wearing jewelry, it should be removed." Ask the Gemara, Pshita, isn't that obvious? Hash the Navuli Manavala. We go through all these activities that cause her to look humiliated. Hani Ribaya, obviously we remove the jewelry. Answers the Gemara, Madatem Bahani Isla B'Zayin Tfei, keeping the jewelry on her makes her look even more humiliated. The person's not wearing any clothing, but he's wearing shoes, is particularly foolish looking. Here too, she's undressed, so leaving the jewelry on her really makes her look even worse. Kamash Malan, that's not the way to understand, and the jewelry should be removed. Vakach maybe chevel mitzri, then we bring a rope made out of palm to tie the clothing on, to tie the clothing above her bosom. Ask the Gemara. By the name of Abba Rav Huna, chevel mitzri ma'a shiyak b'saitam. And as the Tosfos HaRosh explains the Gemara's question, certainly if we go through the saita process without using this palm string, there is no question that the process is considered halachically valid. The question of our Gemara, he says, is if there is no palm string available, should we wait till one becomes available, push off the process until one becomes available, or is it not that essential and we could wait and we should continue with the process? Is the main reason we bring the palm string mishum shlo yishbetu begedem alehu, in order that our clothing should not slip off, and therefore but tziltzul katan namisagi, using any clasp to keep the clothes on is satisfactory, idil mishum damamar, as we will learn mitzvashem hi chagra le betziltzul, she put on pretty clasps and clips, therefore we humiliate her. We bring her specifically this palm rope, which is particularly humiliating, and therefore the kashla melamadadel, and therefore me'akiv, we should certainly be careful to use such a string, and if necessary, even wait till one becomes available. Amala, so he responded to Nesua, the Brisa says explicitly, V'achach mevi chevla mitzri, this palm rope was brought, the kashra l'mal b'dadel, and it was used to tie on top of her bosom, k'desh l'yishmetu b'gedem ha'leh, so we see that the main entire purpose is that the clothing should not fall off, and therefore, if the chevla mitzri is not available, we bring another rope. So the Mishnah said, "V'chala roitz liris ba yira, whoever wants to watch her may watch her, except her avodah mishvachas." And then the Mishnah said, again, that all women should see her. Ask the Gemara, "Gufa kasha." Amrit, first the Mishnah says, "Chala roitz ba liris roya, whoever wants to see her may see her." Alma, so obviously, loishna gravri v'loishna nashi. It makes no difference, men or women. Everybody could come and watch. V'hadatani, but then our Mishnah says, kol hanoshim mitaras l'raisai. Women may see her. Noshim in, anoshim loy. Only women, not men. Amrabaya, responds Abaye, Tirgma Anoshim. When the Mishnah at the beginning said, Kala Roitza, Liris by Roya, it doesn't mean both men or women. It only meant women. Amalar Rava, says Rava Tabaya, how could you explain the Mishnah that way? The Mishnah used the word, the Kala Roitza, Liris by Roya Ketani. The Mishnah explicitly said that anybody could come see her. El Amarava, Kala Roitza, Liris by Roya. Anybody who wants to come watch may watch. Loishna Gavri, Loishna Nashi, makes no difference, men or women. However, v'noshim chayovis l'roi soy, women are obligated to come see her, shnema v'nevosru kol anoshim, v'loisanikus m'znaschem, so women don't only have the option, but it's actually, women are supposed to come and see her. And the Tveres Yisrael says, that's according to Rava, when the Mishnah says, v'kol anoshim mutaris l'roi soy, don't understand it to mean, mutaris that they made, they're permitted l'roi soy, but rather explain it mutaris from the Lashon Hasra. Women are warned. We specifically warn and ask women to participate in watching this happen to the Saita. Says the Mishnah, B'mida sh'adam moided ba'loi moidedin. The way a person acts, that's why, that's the way, that's what happens to him. And it's Sefer Achinuch explains, that is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He runs the world with a midah keneged midah. The Mashah and the Ein Yaakov explain that the reason everything is done midah keneged midah is because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chas V'Shalom brings punishment on a person, it's not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish the person. He wants the person to do better. Why will get the person to recognize and realize that he did something improper and should mend his ways? What will get the person to recognize that he did something improper and do better if he's, the einish is midah keneged midah? The Sifrei Kabbalah explain it on a much deeper level. They say that the mitzvahs that the world needs should be done, the averus that the world needs should not be done. And that's the way the world should work. However, if the mitzvahs aren't being done, or the averus are done, then the onshim, the punishment, accomplish the same as the mitzvah or the avera. And therefore we find by Soita, he kashta atzma la avera, she put on beautiful, hamokah put on jewelry to her adulterer, hamokim nivla, and that's why she's disgraced. He gils atzma l'aveira, she undressed herself, hamokim gilalel. B'yarech eschila b'aveira, the aveira begins with the thigh, v'akach habetin, and then on the stomach, l'fikach tilka yarech tchila v'akach habetin. Shakol aguf, but that doesn't mean any, the rest of the body, like polit, since the entire body participated in the aveira, so the entire body suffers the punishment. Amrav Yosef, Afgav the Mida Betela, even though, and the Mashah explains that Agamara is speaking to a Saita, that even though the exact process of the Saita that we're learning, we'll continue to learn, Bezer Hashem, no longer is acted, the Mida Leibotel, what happened to a Saita, and the punishment that would happen to a Saita still continues to exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the person that acts immorally. As the Amar of Yosef, the Kaitan of Chia, Miyayim Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Abi Shabbat Le Sanhedrin, even though the Sanhedrin became no longer active, Abba Mises Le Batlu, the Abba Mises that were administered by Beis Din have not stopped. Tosfos asks, that really didn't happen from when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. It was already 40 years before the Sanhedrin, because they saw so many capital cases, stopped trying them. So why did it say Miyoyim Shabbatlu? So Tosfos says that during those 40 years, if necessary, they would activate the Mises Beis Din. Once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it was no longer obviously active. Others explain that since it was only 40 years, that's why it's not really, it's considered Miyoyim Shechar Beis HaMikdash. Another pshat is that at that time, even though the Beis HaMikdash was standing, it was already like the time of the Churban HaBayis. But I saw another teretz from the Maram Shif. The Maram Shif says interesting teretz. The Chiddush that Al Gemara is going to teach us, that even though the actual Mises Bezdin was no longer active, but people who were deserving this death received it in one way or another, says the Maram Shif, that was in the time of those 40 years is not a big Chiddush. Because even though the Sanhedrin wasn't sitting in the Lishkas HaGozes, there was still a Sanhedrin, and they still went through these type of Dinei Torah. But now, where we don't even have such a Din Torah, and still HaKadosh Baruch Hu administers the Einish, is a proof of the B'mida Leibotl. El Din Abim V'botl. So I asked the Gemara, we know that the Sanhedrin doesn't exist, we don't administer these deaths. So the Gemara, Din Abim Mises Leibotl. What the person is supposed to get, he gets. Mishan schayv skila, somebody schayv skila, oy noifim aragag, oy chayv dersosoy, or either he falls off the roof, or is trampled by a beast, because that's what happened with somebody's mechuyiv skila, they would throw him off the roof. Mishan schayv sreifa, somebody's mechuyiv misa sreifa, rachman slon, oy noifim batleik, he falls into a fire, oy nochsh makishoy, or he's bitten by a snake with the venom burning through his body. Mishan schayv hariga, somebody's schayv beheading Saif, Oinim Sulamalchus, the king, the government kills him. The typical capital punishment in those days was beheading. I list in Boyan Alof, Mishan Eschayev Chanika, somebody who's Chayev Chanek, Oi Toiva Benar, drowns, or Mes Besarkani, or he chokes to death, the same as Chanek. Ask the Mepharshim, if Al Gemara says that B'mida Loi Botl, how can we find that people, Rachman Tzlan, there are people that do Averis, and never received these einshim? So some say that maybe they did tshuva. Others say sometimes there's certain mitzvahs that people do that have the ability to protect them, and therefore maybe these people did certain mitzvahs that are protecting them from these punishments. And yet the Gros says that this entire concept of the din abim mises leibotlu is only in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz Laretz, this concept doesn't apply.